Please take your copy of God's Word and turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, and we'll read verses 4 through 6. Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. The Word of God says, "And he answered them and said to them, Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate."
A little earlier, the congregation was contacted by Carolyn Laskowitz to just let everyone know that Jack has been in the hospital for a while. Most of you are aware of his heart issues, and also he's been dealing with cancer. And one of the discoveries in recent weeks was that the cancer that he had has spread to his bladder, and that has caused a good amount of pain for Jack. If you know Jack Laskowitz, he is a sweet gentleman and a very generous, kind-hearted fella. It would be harder to find a man sweeter and kinder than he. It is our blessing and privilege to be able to go to God in prayer on his behalf. Let's pray for him at this time. God, there are many at Westside that have had serious health issues. We thank you for each and every one that's improved, and there are many. And we are thankful for those that have gotten medical attention and will continue to receive it, and that this attention will hopefully bring about their much desired health. God, we always rely on you. We are so thankful that you providentially work through the hands of doctors and nurses and the medical profession. As Christians, we don't rely primarily on medicine. We rely always on you. We pray for our brother and our sister, Jack and Carolyn Laskowitz. They too have faced their share of health issues. We pray for Jack as he's in the hospital and the pain from which he's been suffering due to bladder cancer. We're thankful that there has been improvement regarding his health and his heart. And hopefully, with continued treatment, he will be ready for surgery if that's in your will with the bladder cancer. Father, we believe that this man is a man of faith and trust, a man of goodness, a man who is a man that belongs to Jesus. We pray your will be done in his life. We pray that you especially be with his wife, Carolyn, and bless her. Thank you so much, God, for hearing us when we talk to you. You're never distracted. You're never hard of hearing when your children call out to you in faith. God, you're amazing. In Christ's name, amen. One thing is sure, you're never going to back Jesus into a corner. No matter what your motivation may be, you're never going to ask him a question that catches him completely off guard. He is not only the master teacher, he's the master answerer. He's not only the master teacher, he's the master questioner. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it's said of Jesus in Matthew 7 and verses 28 and 29, When he had finished these sayings, they were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught as one having authority and not as one of the scribes. The passage we're looking at tonight certainly fits Matthew 7, 28 and 29. On another occasion it was said, John 7, 46, never a man so spake as he. Now look at Matthew 19 that Terry read for us. Verses 4, 5, and 6. This Sunday evening series that we've been on in recent weeks is called Small Passage, Big Message. Small Passage, Big Message. And certainly Matthew 19, 4 through 6 qualifies as it concerns marriage. Let's look at this particular passage in two different but related ways. We're going to look at Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6 in two different but connected ways. Let's look at it structurally. And then we're going to consider it practically. All right? A structural look at the passage, and then a practical look at the passage. Jesus is asked a question concerning divorce. The question is it lawful to put away your spouse for any reason? Now notice what Jesus does. First of all, he asks a question. He answers their question with a question. Have you not read? It's not unusual for Jesus to say something like this. As a matter of fact, to use exactly the same terms in Matthew chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. This is the same Jesus who, when he was tempted, answered Satan each time with Scripture. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 13. So the fact that he is pointing everyone to Scripture is a clear indication that there were people that were going to other places, like tradition and various rabbis, but Jesus puts the emphasis squarely where it needs to be on Scripture. Have you not read? Have you not read? Now, secondly, as we look at the structure here, and this is in verse 4, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning created them male and female? When he says this, he is quoting the Old Testament. Genesis 1 and verse 27, Old Testament quote number 1. Genesis 1 and verse 27. Have you not read that he that made them in the beginning created them male and female? And then notice this. And he said, and Jesus is referring to God in creating everything, just after Eve was created for Adam. Notice verse 5. He said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast or cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The second Old Testament quote, Genesis 2:24, right after Eve was created for Adam. Remember, Eve was created out of Adam's side, one of his ribs. She is different, yet complementary to him. More about that in a minute. Notice this. Jesus then gives an assertion. Notice this at the beginning of verse 6. They are no longer two, but one flesh. And then he draws a conclusion. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Five parts. A question. Old Testament quote number one, Genesis 1:27. Old Testament quote number two, Genesis 2:24. Assertion. The two shall become one flesh. Conclusion. What God has joined together, let not man separate. That brings me to the second part of the lesson. The structure's clear. The structure's plain. Now the practical aspects of this. Let's look at four practical aspects. Number one, notice what Jesus does. He goes back to creation itself. That's important. He goes back to the beginning and creation itself. And not only was the earth and everything in it created by God, not only were Adam and Eve created by God, but God created and designed marriage itself, didn't He? So He goes back to creation and He speaks of the fact that God in the beginning created them male and female. That ought to be underlined. Because He created females and males. The female one, the male one. God created each. And as part of creation and as part of the relationship and as part of marriage in itself, you have a difference, male, female, and yet they complement one another. So much so that when Eve has been fashioned and Adam awakens to see her, it's as if he says, "Hot dog! Wow! Really, it is. Because God has given him a complement that's like him and yet different from him that complements him." That can't be overlooked. Second practical point. You'll see this in verse 5. If creation is emphasized by Jesus, so is commitment in verse 5. Commitment. For this reason, for this cause, for the cause of marriage, for the cause, the reason of marriage, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave or hold fast to his wife. Married love is between two different but complementary people, a male and a female. That's what the text is saying. Married love is a commitment to leave the family of your origin and to be glued, cemented, bonded with another. To cleave. To leave, to cleave, the old translation, to hold fast. It's a decision. Notice third, this practical point, and it's right at the beginning of verse 6. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. They are no longer two, but one flesh. Creation, commitment, continuance. In a married relationship, husbands and wives work together to become more and more one. More and more one. That's what God's Word is talking about. And the idea is they depend on one another. They are a team. And then that's why Jesus says, so they are no longer two, but one. In the marriage seminar yesterday and the day before, one of the things I said is God takes one person, originally Adam, and makes another out of him. Two. But in marriage, God takes two people and makes one out of them. More and more so over time. Again, look at the last part of verse 6. Because Jesus really brings the point home. You've got the conclusion, but it's in the form of a declaration, a command. He says, what therefore God has joined together, husband and wife, let not man separate. That's a command. Let not man separate. Here is the point. It was God's original intention that marriage be between a man and a woman who are committed to God and to one another for life. Sin separates what God originally intended. Sin can devastate what God originally intended. Now, later in this passage, Jesus goes on to deal with the matter of divorce and divorce for any cause that he was first asked. But we ought to start where Jesus started. And Jesus started with God's original intention and purpose for marriage, His will. I think we ought to be talking more about what God's will for marriage is. And then hopefully we'll have to be talking much, much less about what God's will for marriage isn't when people separate or divorce. Let's pray. God, thank you for the time that we've had together. Thank you for what Jesus said. God, help us to realize that Jesus always points to you. And we are most blessed when our hearts and lives do the same thing, point to you and your will. May that be true in our marriages, and may it be true in our families. May it be true in our lives individually. May it be true of us as a congregation of your people. We love you. We know that relationships can be difficult. They can be challenging. And sometimes they seem to be overwhelming. Help us to rely on you and your will, your purposes to see us through. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're about to sing our song of encouragement. Perhaps there's someone here that needs to become a Christian, like our new brother AJ did earlier today. Perhaps there's someone here as a Christian who needs the prayers of the church, maybe because of a troubled, difficult, very hard time in marriage. Maybe because of other issues you're facing. God's people need to care for one another, and we need to value everybody. Let us stand and sing.